Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
One hour in the books. Lickety split. On a hump day. Hopefully you're having a good day. And it feels like every day that we come in here, there's just some sort of new wrinkle in the quarterback conversation.
Always something, Zach. Always. You open up the little Twitter or the X. All right. You know, browse through the newspaper. I know you like the newspaper still.
I actually do like the newspaper still.
Do you have it come to your house?
I don't.
Okay.
But I will get it when I'm out and about. There's still like stands. If you go to the right Starbucks, you can still like get the newspaper. And I, dude, no joke. I grew up in the 2000s. I'm in high school, 2002, yeah. 3, 4, 5. And I grew up reading the newspaper. I was the only kid that I knew reading it because we didn't have the TV and we literally read the newspaper.
I remember the newspaper as well. And it's funny that you say that because like 2 weeks ago, a newspaper was thrown at my door. So somebody still goes out there and throws the newspaper at the doors. Nah, he probably misjudged our house and it was another house.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, that's a newspaper.
You know what? There's still something to holding it in your hand. I know people are read it less and less, and they've kind of shifted their model to digital. So you read the newspaper on your computer now or your phone, but there's still something to it, man.
Yeah, sitting there on the toilet going through the newspaper. I like it.
We used to, no joke, me and my brother, he's 18 months older than me, Jason, we would, when we were in like especially middle school, they would have the comics. And I know, and I will say once in a while, like I grew up like a 1940s kid, no joke. Even by the end of the 50s, TVs were in every house, nearly every household. And I've shared it throughout the years here on the station. My mom, you know, split with my dad. Dad took the TV. She was like, boys, we are not getting another television. I was seven. We didn't get one again until I was in high school. And that was like play video games and stuff.
Wild.
Had the rabbit ears. No cable.
Yep.
And my brother would have the comics and I would have the sports and then we would swap.
That's cool.
It's just super rare for someone that was my age, but that was how we grew up. Anyway, how the hell did we start talking about that?
You know, I was trying to make a joke that you still like newspapers and you're like, well, technically I still do.
Yes, I do, Bill. Well, it feels like every day we come in here, there's a new wrinkle and the new wrinkle today, and there's a couple, but the big one is that Dak Prescott's future in Dallas is uncertain.
Yeah.
They're not doing another contract. And I wonder, because of the disadvantage that the Broncos have in getting their next quarterback, not a ton of draft capital, not a ton of immediate draft capital, where they're at, going to be mortgage in the future. If they don't do that, I do wonder if the next option is not so distant in the future with Dak Prescott. Does that sound crazy? Does that sound absolutely nuts?
No, it's not. I mean, Denver should have got Dak Prescott at one point.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
I know.
You know, we didn't.
Yeah.
And it does look like over there with Dak and Jerry Jones, like there's some kind of feud going on. Things are not good over there.
They're not.
And it shouldn't be. Zach, every year the Dallas Cowboys pretty much get everything they want. Okay, they have all the money in the world. They have all the all-stars in the world. And yet, they can't come up with going to the Super Bowl. Not even just going. Like, I don't think they can ever get out like the second round of the playoffs. Right? At some point, you have to move on from people because you're not going to continue to pay a quarterback that can't get you to the promised land. So now Dak is going to be sitting there on the outside looking in, needing a new home. And it could be with the Denver Broncos if we don't get the quarterback that we want this year.
Right. And when you add up just the natural factors, and we've talked about it for the last 2 days, it's like there is not a clear path for the Broncos to select their next franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, there's a scenario it is, but it's not a clear path. And again, we'll see how it shakes out here 1 month from now. But if you just add up the natural factors and you also have to add in the Stidham factor, that, and I know some people might roll their eyes, but you got to consider it's Sean here. And if Sean does not feel comfortable with mortgage in the future and overextending the Denver Broncos, and they just build the roster, maybe draft a Pratt or a Ritter or whoever in a later round and rock with Jarrett Stidham, this could come to the forefront here in the next 12 months, less than that, because that it looks like, as of right now, and things could change, but it looks like Dak could hit free agency. And if you're Dak and you're this close, this is not the first time that him and the Cowboys have had some, you know, friction.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's pretty damn awesome to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe they, in the end, you know, they'll figure it out. But if not, if you're this close to free agency, you might want to test it and see what's out there.
You might want to. You know, you said something right there. You said, you know, with Steady. I'm so tired of feeling like, what has Steady done where, or Stedham, okay, Sparky done where it's like he's being coddled by Sean Payton at this time? Because that's what it feels like. It's like every other quarterback, all right, you're either good or you're not. It doesn't matter if you're kind of that level of you're not the best quarterback, but you're sitting here in the middle. You know, it is what it is. But for Sean, it's like he keeps coddling Stedham like he's his greatest thing. You know, and he's going to get his opportunity this year.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's going to get it.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. And I don't know if he's – I don't know if he's treating Stidham like he's the greatest thing, but he's like – it's almost like he's protective of that property.
Mm.
Like that's like his guy. And he won't tell you how great he is, but also it's like he's going to let you know in his own ways that he believes he can really play.
Well, have you ever had a team? Because I've been to a couple teams, and I've noticed that with certain players, right? Certain players, a coach just kind of finds his way to that player and finds his way helping that player out without even knowing it and talking him up. And you can see it because you're on the outside looking in. You're looking at your other teammates like, yo, you see this?
Yeah.
Like, he can do no wrong kind of situation.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation like that?
1,000%. 1,000%. Both good and bad.
Yeah.
Both good and bad, where I was firmly a part of a coach's vision. And then if you're not a part of the organic vision for a coach, you almost have to bend time and space and you have to have a crowbar and fit yourself into it.
Lord, do I know.
You have to go above and beyond. What do you think about when you say, Lord, do I know?
Yeah, I mean, for myself. I mean, when I got to the Denver Broncos, I was not in the vision of being there. I was just a camp body.
Yes.
All right, Royce Freeman. When they came in, I'll never forget, Zach. I will never forget. I finally made the team, right? We're in the meeting room, and we're watching film, getting ready for
the Seattle Seahawks. How confident you were, by the way, that you were going to make the team? By that time, did you feel good about it?
By that time, it was the fourth preseason, because we did four preseasons, right?
Yes, yep.
I didn't play in that preseason game.
Mm.
And right there, Coach Mockins told me, congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Right? He was like, you made the team. So I felt good, right? I was like, man, all this work. And it finally paid off. I'm going to be a big part of this situation at some point.
That had to feel amazing.
It felt great.
Did you celebrate?
Great. You know, no.
You getting your sleeping bag in your parents' basement? Put on your favorite movie?
Yeah, I asked. I was like, hey, Mom, can Zach Bye come over? We got some s'mores in the back.
Yeah, let me talk to his mom. We'll talk.
No pay-per-view, buddy. No, but so we, that next day or the next day or two, we're getting ready for Seattle, and we're in there. And
that's right. It was Seattle.
It was, you know, versus old Russ.
Yes, Case Keenum.
He was trying to feel the chill of that trophy.
Yes.
I wasn't having any of it. But
I want to feel the chill of that trophy.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. Thanks, Russ. Not here
for that. Here. Stop.
So Coach Monken goes up and says, "Hey, look, Royce Freeman, you're the man. You're the Bill Kyle back. You've won the job. You're going to be the guy that goes out there and carries the load."
So that was vocalized.
Oh. Hands, like, it was from the start.
Okay.
He said, Devontae Booker, he said, you're going to spell Royce. You're going to be a third down back. And then he looks at Phil, you know, me. He says, Phil, congratulations. He said, but this is the thing here. If you're going to continue to make this team, you're going to have to do well on special teams. Like, because you may not get your opportunity to play in a game running the football.
Yep.
Maybe until week 10, week 12, we don't know. So, Zach, the whole entire week, you're a third string running back. You're not getting reps. You're watching it. You know, you're watching, you're doing your special teams, you're going on.
Yep.
So we get into the game, and I'm just happy to be there. I'm like Friday Night Lights, I don't have my helmet.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I get thrown into the game because we couldn't get anything rolling, And that's how I started to go. And I didn't know any of the plays. And that's why the first play of the game, I didn't know. And Case told me to run a flat, and I ended up scoring a touchdown. Like, it was all kind of crazy things. But it was that time when I was like, I'm going to have to fight my way to get respect.
Yeah.
And every time I've always looked on the board, Zach, I was always dead last on the depth chart from college to the NFL. It did not matter how well I did. I was still the second year in the NFL, Zach. I was still listed like number two on the depth chart. They wanted Royce to still be the man that next year.
So after the
Pro Bowl year.
You average like 5 yards a carry.
I'm not their guy, though.
This is the point. That if you are not a part of the coach's vision, people like to be right. People like to be right. You say this often. People like what they like.
Yeah.
They like what they like, but they also like to be right. And if you're not a part of that initial vision, you have to, like you said, bend time and space.
So is Sean, being Sean, is he willing to put Stidham in that situation because he wants to be so right that he's not willing to move Stidham over for a better opportunity or a person that fits the scheme better, or going and drafting a player that is better than Stidham if he doesn't go for someone like JJ McCarthy?
Well, I think it's relevant in that, like, if you... In order to get the guy that he loves, and let's just go with JJ, if you feel like you have to mortgage your entire future and that makes him feel uncomfortable, Stidham might be the safety net of saying, no, we're going to draft Brock Bowers. No, we're going to draft Jared Verse. We're going to continue to build the roster because there's not nothing there. And I don't think it has as much to do with, like, being right as like a thought process of like, no, I bet on Stidham. I got to be right. I don't think it's a thought process like that. I genuinely believe he has a conviction with Jared Stidham. He saw what he saw in that San Francisco 49ers game that we watched last week.
Yeah.
And to act like there's not anything there is not true. I mean, there's a reason, like, Jared Stidham, you know, is, I don't know how you would want to call a solid. The guy's played 4 games. So it feels like unfair to even label him with anything.
His ceiling, he hasn't hit his ceiling yet, because we don't know what we truly have in someone like Jared Stidham, because he hasn't played enough. He hasn't been hit enough. He hasn't made enough plays. Okay, but he also hasn't been the quarterback enough for any team to sit here and say, this is who you are. And in the NFL, Zach, after a while, they start to pay you for who you are, and you can get stuck in a box. You can get stuck in a box forever. They talked about how I couldn't catch the ball because I came off a wrist injury, right? And now it sticks with you forever. Every single team you go to is going to bring that same situation up. And maybe Jared Stidham at this point doesn't have a box. He's not in a box. And that's why Sean Payton's so bullish on him right now, is because it's like his ceiling is not there yet, and we can find out what he really is capable of doing.
Yeah. And I'm just going to mention this, not saying it's a thought process of Sean, but if you can get Jared Stidham the ball, it's like, what a feather in Sean's cap. That, I mean, like, no one expects Jared Stidham to go be some, you know, I don't even expect Jared Stidham, I don't think, to be an NFL starter here moving forward. Based on what? 4 games? He's won 1 game in the NFL, just one. But if you, there's got to be something to that, that it's like, if you can get that to work, dude, you're like a quarterback whisperer. And that's how I think Sean sees himself. Now, again, not that it's a thought process. Yeah. I just think he's so confident and maybe arrogant to the point where it's like, could Stidham break ties with, like, yeah, we could go up. We could go all the way up. But, man, that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And what breaks the tie is I know I have that guy back in Denver.
Man, that's scary.
Oh, it is. Oh,
that's scary.
I'm scared saying it.
Jared Stidham, who is only playing 4 games, could be a tiebreaker for going up, mortgaging everything. For you to get that quarterback that you truly love.
It's Sean. Sean's a wild dude. And again, we have to accept what risk it's going to be for this franchise if they do want to move all the way up. And the Broncos are getting mentioned as much as anyone else in the NFL right now with moving up to 4. They are getting mentioned just as much as anyone. And I'm seeing, you know, Matt Miller from ESPN release his mock draft today, and he's got the Broncos trading all the way up to number 4 and drafting J.J. McCarthy. Listening to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, he's got the Broncos as a dark horse, talking with Dan Patrick. He's got the Broncos as the dark horse to move all the way up to 4 and drafting J.J. McCarthy. So,
but what does that look like? That's what scares me now, right? We want to move up. I'm okay with moving up. If you're moving up, that means you're telling us that that quarterback that you're picking up is going to be really good for us. But what are we willing to give up for that? You know, are we going to give up 3 first-round picks? Are we going to give up 2 first-round picks and pass Surtain?
Right.
This
right.
Is, these are the things that we're going to have to start discussing yeah. because, yeah, it's going to everything comes with a price.
Well, I think you just nailed it. That's probably with some fringe stuff maybe around it, but I think you just nailed the nuts and bolts of what it's going to take. You want to move up to 4 with the Arizona Cardinals, you're going to have to trade your 12th pick,
yeah,
your first-round pick next year in 2025, and your first-round pick in 2026. That's what I think it's going to cost. Or if you did want to get Pat Surtain involved, you trade the 12th pick, next year's first-round pick, and Pat Surtain. And it's, look, it is an incredible investment. It's an incredible risk. But we have to remember, if Sean Payton believes that guy can be the franchise quarterback, it's a risk to not do it. It's a risk to not go get him. And you know, what's the greater risk? Investing that and getting it wrong or not investing it and you were right about the guy? Honestly, Phil, given the choice between those two,
yeah.
I think it's a greater risk. If you believe that guy can be a 15-year quarterback, next decade quarterback, I think it's a greater risk to not go up and get him.
Oh, dang. See, I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite. And maybe this is the player in me. And this is how football works. This is how basketball works. This is how hockey works. All right? At some point, you can't play anymore, and the next young man comes in. There's always going to be somebody mm-hmm. that can come in and do the job. Yep. There's always going to be somebody that can do it a little bit better than you. You got to go find that somebody. So I know that you know, you're looking at like a Patrick Mahomes. You're like, man, if I knew what Patrick Mahomes was going to do, and nobody did.
No one.
Everybody would have been going out there just throwing up 5 first-round draft picks to get Patrick Mahomes in the building.
No one knew it to the, even Andy Reid to
like,
this degree. Even Andy Reid. It's like Jokic. Yeah, you drafted Jokic, but you didn't know Jokic was
For
Jokic.
For sure. He was in the second round.
Correct.
You're talking, like, oh, we can get on now. Oh, he's about to have his third
oh, yeah.
MVP, and he came from the second round.
Yeah.
We'll get on that later.
And I think he's going to be unanimous MVP. I do.
And he's going to win again. He's going to win a championship.
Yes, and if he does that, he's going to win finals MVP, and he's going to be on the shortest list of in NBA history of players who have 3 regular season MVPs. There's only 8 of those ever.
Yeah.
So you don't even need all your fingers. And if he gets multiple finals MVP, you're talking about him being on a list that's 4 players long.
And think about how many teams, if they knew that was going to be possible.
Oh, Phil.
Jokic, come on.
Dude.
Come on.
Dude.
Everybody would be trying to get rid of everybody.
And since we're here, and this is a rabbit hole.
It's okay.
If Jokic, and I did a YouTube video about this and talked about this with you about maybe 7 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If Jokic goes and he's going to win the MVP, he's going to gallop across the finish line like one of the Serbian horses. And then if they go and win the championship and he gets finals MVP, there are only 5 players in the history of basketball who have at least 3 MVPs and 2 finals MVPs. They're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. You could actually make an argument that those are the 5 greatest players in NBA history. That's where we're going, dude. Yeah. And we're in the fast lane for it. And I got my seatbelt on. It's been on.
And we didn't mortgage everything to get old Jokic.
No.
All right? And so there's what I'm saying is, and that's what I'm saying is, yeah, you may love this quarterback, but you can't tell me next year you may not love another quarterback, or the year after that you may love somebody else. All right? Because that's kind of what the game is about. So I'm not willing to give up everything I got for just one young man that I don't know nothing about, has not played a lick of the NFL. Okay? He looks like Patrick Mahomes, but he may play like Zach Wilson. Mm. Then what happens?
Yep, you're screwed.
So, for me, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious. Now, if I have opportunity to go out and get him, but I don't have to give up everything, then I will do it.
Mm.
But if there's somebody else out there, and you said that you can fall in love with 2 quarterbacks.
I think that's possible, yeah.
Then why am I going to be sitting here stressing if that quarterback ends up going first and I have an opportunity to still get that other one and not have to give up everything?
You're saying in the future?
I'm talking about even now. I'm talking about even now for Sean. For Sean, like, we think it's J.J. McCarthy. That's why we're moving up to 4.
Yes.
But what if it's not J.J. McCarthy? Or what if it's like, okay, I do want J.J. McCarthy, but if he's not here, I still love another quarterback that I'm still willing to take at four. But he also is sitting here saying, maybe I don't have to move up to four to get the guy that I also love. Like, I love J.J. McCarthy, and I'm willing to move up. But if I don't think I can get him, I'm not going to move up and give everything I got when I can still get the quarterback I love, and I'm going to keep everything.
Well, there's only two guys in that scenario that could get picked in the first round that he could pick at 12, and that's Michael Penix or Bo Nix. And if that's the way they go, maybe it's Bo.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Bo Nix. And whatever Sean wants to do, I have to co-sign it. There's nothing else tangible to hold on to for hope outside of trusting Sean's quarterback wisdom.
Yeah.
But if you think J.J. McCarthy is a 10-year quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Phil, not going to be fearful. Got to go get him.
I'm not doing it. I'm not giving up three first-round picks.
You're not?
Pat Surtain. I'm not doing it because I need those picks.
I smell something. It's fear.
There's some cookies.
There's some fear coming from that microphone. If you believe it, you gotta go get them. You gotta go get them.
Speaking like a gambling man. Where's the card note?
Don't worry about it, honey. We'll make it all back next month. Today, in addition to all this stuff and new mocks and Dak Prescott conversation, the Broncos are out at LSU's pro day today. And they're not just there. They are going to have a meeting with Jaden Daniels after his pro day. Maybe it's happening right now. This is also not their first meeting with Jaden Daniels. If you remember, they met at the combine, and Jaden Daniels was the one that called Sean Payton the guru.
Mm.
What kind of wrinkle is this? I don't know. Is it just to turn over every stone? Just to do it? I don't know. But we've been talking about four. Could it be two? Could it be three? Probably not. That probably feels like a little fantasy football. But what do you think about this meeting with Jaden Daniels today?
It's interesting. And what I'm thinking is Sean had in his head that he wanted J.J. McCarthy. Now, the cat's out the bag. He may go number two. And now they're having to do their due diligence on everybody else. Right? Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
That was supposed to go number two. Now he may drop.
He could. And then it's like, if you're looking at the Patriots, what if they like Drake May better? Jaden Daniels could fall from two to four easily. That's interesting. From what you know about Jaden Daniels, does that strike you as a fit for Sean Payton?
You know, I like my running quarterbacks, people that can be agile, mobile.
He's a great athlete, man.
Great athlete. Very smart.
Yep.
I think that he does and will fit his system. Because here's the deal. This is what I'm saying. This is why I wish they wouldn't win guy Justin Fields. For Sean Payton, if you are this guru, right, that everybody thinks you are and you think you are, then being able to adjust to another quarterback, but then also bring in situations where it's like, this is what I need you to do. He's so raw. He's so young that he can fit the mold and he can learn and he can adjust as well. Why would you not? The kid's explosive. And then you, as a quarterback guru, are supposed to bring in that processing, the trust factor, okay, sitting in the pocket. That's what you're supposed to do. Be a coach. Nowadays in the NFL, everybody wants the lazy way out, the easy way out. Have somebody that's already ready. Where's the coaching at?
That's why
you're getting paid.
Yeah. This would be more of a project, and I don't mean that in a bad way. But that being said, shoot, I just watched the guy win a Heisman and throw 40 touchdowns and four interceptions. I mean, he's a baller.
I think that he is better than J.J. McCarthy. Okay. And that's why he would go number two. I think that's why everybody has him at number two. He's more athletic than J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
He's smart. He has an arm.
J.J.'s a good athlete, though.
J.J.'s a good athlete. He ain't better than Jaden Daniels, though.
Watch your mouth.
Look at you trying to unthaw. I'm going to have to freeze you back up.
I did see a cut up of Jaden Daniels on Twitter. Just throws to the middle of the field, and it was freaking impressive. Russell Wilson saw it. I thought that was illegal. You could throw it to the middle of the field? I said, yeah, you could throw it there, Russ. All right.
But you still want J.J. McCarthy. You're like, leave J.J. alone.
Leave J.J. alone. I mean it.
I got more fire than ever.
Oh, God almighty. All right. We have a curveball in the Caitlin Clark story just days ahead of her Sweet 16 matchup with the CU women. We'll take a dive into that coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
TMZ is reporting. Remember, people used to like laugh at TMZ. Now it's like if TMZ is on a story, you better pay attention.
TMZ. If you say TMZ, that's not a good thing.
Usually not.
Or it could be. I got put on TMZ.
You did?
Yeah, when I proposed to my wife, they put me on there for some reason.
Is that right?
Yeah. Some sick stuff.
How did they, you post it to social media and then they pick it up?
They picked it up, you know, and then they were like, breaking news. The best looking man in the world, Philip Lindsay.
He's off the market. Unbelievable. Breaking. Well, TMZ is reporting that, exactly. TMZ is reporting that Ice Cube and his league, the Big Three, three-on-three league, is offering Caitlin Clark $5 million to forgo the WNBA draft and go play with them and be a part of more of like a show and a tour than the highest level of basketball. Upside is the money. She'll make more money doing this than she'll make in the WNBA. But you're not playing in the best women's basketball league in the world. What do you think she does?
Yeah, I don't think she takes it. I think for Caitlin Clark, she's already making a lot. I guarantee she has a couple $1 million in her pocket right now.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
Right? She's only going to make more. All right, when it comes to endorsements, commercials. And if she goes out there and is the face of the WNBA,
which
you mean
she
to
will
tell
be.
Me
yeah.
that she can't get, you know, more money than she wants? So if I'm Caitlin Clark, something that you've probably been wanting to do your whole entire life, you know, follow that dream. Follow that dream. Don't follow money. Money's going to come. You already have money. You already have money.
Yeah, that's why that was the argument for her to stay in school, because you'll make more money as an Iowa Hawkeye than you will in the WNBA. And these WNBA players, and I know a lot of people know this, but some may not, that when they get done with their WNBA season, most of them go overseas and play because they'll make, you know, a lot of these WNBA players are making 50 to 60, 70 grand. The highest paid ones are making, you know, $200,000-$400,000. But these women are not making millions of dollars. So it's interesting. But Caitlin's different because endorsements wherever she goes are gonna follow. Yeah. Which
and she'll probably at one point be the highest paid WNBA player, especially if she does what she's doing in college.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's going to be the case. But it's interesting. You know, yesterday we ended our show on a super random thought because I was like, hey, we know Caitlin Clark's the most famous college basketball player, man or woman. But I said, is she the most famous college athlete if you included football? And Caleb Williams' name came up.
Yeah.
And I said, basically, just off the cuff, I said, hey, if you had a chance to have a drink with Caleb Williams or Caitlin Clark, who would it be? You said Caleb Williams. Drew said Caleb Williams. Will Peterson, who was in there, said Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Me and Kamaje, we're like looking at you guys like you are crazy.
Uh-huh.
So I put it out on Twitter, and you could still vote. There's 2.5 hours left to vote here. It said, given the choice between the two, who would you rather sit and have a drink with, Caitlin Clark or Caleb Williams? 73% said Caitlin Clark.
Oh!
Which, when you guys kept on saying Caleb, I'm like, this, no way! No way. And this thing, it got over 1,000 votes, so it's a proper sample size. But yeah, 73% said Caitlin Clark. 27% said Caleb Williams.
Eh. I think they're just mad at Caleb right now, man.
People are mad at Caitlin. Do you guys see this? Like, there's like people mad at Caitlin because she told someone shut the F up, and the people are on their high horse like, I thought of more demonstrated morals from it. It's like, dude, no one ever says that with a man, but a woman gets competitive playing the highest level at that sport, and people are upset? It's like, dude, get out of your feelings, weirdo. All right.
One, two.
Why isn't the Jontay Porter story bigger than it is? I have a theory on this. I'm going to bounce it off you here.
You're upset, man. You're trying to bring this to life. You're like, Jontay has to go down.
No. It's not that. I just know what I know.
Yeah.
This is an NBA player who is in a gambling scandal.
Yeah.
He's gambling on himself to do poorly and leaving games with illnesses. And I mean, this is a huge story. And by yesterday night, it wasn't even on the top headlines of ESPN.com. Even if he went to NBA, it wasn't even there. They took it down, and I'm like, this is crazy. It's bizarre. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. This is a huge story. And I think there's a reason behind it. ESPN, the driver of our sports news, has a multi-billion dollar deal with the NBA. But Phil, this past year, they created a multi-billion dollar deal with Penn Gaming, who had a falling out with Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Then they partnered up with ESPN. Now you see ESPN Bet every time you turn on ESPN. It's double dipping. It's NBA basketball, but it's also gambling in the worst kind of story that you can imagine. And I think at the highest level, these executives of ESPN are saying, you want to know what? That's not going to lead SportsCenter.
Yeah, let's erase it.
Let's kind of bury this a little bit, because it's shocking how big of a story it is and how hard it's become to find.
Uh-oh, Zach. You might have the mafia on you. You better start talking.
Maybe you're right. What do you think, though, of that theory?
I like the theory. You know I'm all about theories.
Yes, you are.
This is true. This theory is true. Money talks. And those big executives up there, they'll do anything they have to do to make sure something goes away. Right? Anything. And so you're seeing it. You're seeing it. In a couple of weeks, Zach, this will not even be thought of.
I think you might be
you
right.
Bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm going to keep bringing it up until I get whacked.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be like, Phil, at night there's a couple cars that keep driving by my neighborhood.
Yeah, you're going to drop me off in the Cherry Creek Reservoir with some cement shoes. All right, we'll shift gears here.
One, two, three.
Man, this is wild. Dude, your CU Buffs on the men's side, from a personnel standpoint, guys are leaving left and right.
Yeah.
So you're already losing Tristan Da Silva and Cody Williams. We know that's going to happen. But Eddie Lampkin is going to transfer. Okay, he played 28 minutes a game. Double-figure scorer. He's transferring. He's hitting the portal. Luke O'Brien is hitting the portal. He averaged 24 minutes a night and played in 35 freaking games, averaged 7 points a game. He's a big part of what they do. But it's also, Javon Hadley is also leaving. He plays almost every minute of every game. He averages 12 points a game. So in addition to Tristan Da Silva and Cody Williams organically going, aging out, going to the NBA, you have three mainstays of the program all leaving.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on over there. Maybe Tad's having a little heart-to-heart with him, saying that he wants to move on from him, or they're not going to get as much playing time. Maybe he has something up his sleeve.
Mm.
Or maybe these players just don't want to be here anymore because they know they are moving to the Big 12, and it's the number one conference, and they know that they don't have any firepower. I don't know what to make of this. You know, it's frustrating watching, because it's like you truly think that some of these players, like Eddie Lampkin,
right?
You can't sit here and tell me he's a superstar.
Heck no.
Like, at times, he makes you frustrated watching him.
Yes, definitely.
My man can't even jump off the ground and get a clean dunk in there.
No.
And the dude's 6'9".
Yeah. I think he might even be bigger than that.
Yeah.
He's 6'11".
Okay,
6'11". That's what he's listed as anyway.
And so it's like you had the audacity to leave this program, and maybe you don't want to leave. Maybe Tad wants you to leave.
Maybe.
Or maybe you think that you're better than what you are. So it's like, good luck if that's the case.
We're up against it, so we can't take too much time on it. But alternate theory. Another theory.
Okay.
What if Tad Boyle is walking away?
Could be.
And he's giving these guys the head. And I'm totally speculating. Recklessly, even. It's like, what if he's like, hey, fellas, I'm letting you guys know first. This is my last year. Transitioning over to the Big 12. I don't know.
Reckless, right? You're on there.
But it's like, I don't know. This is like unusual to see this many guys who play every single night. Where do they think they're going to go and have a better, like,
opportunity? I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, we'll follow that story from afar. Okay, if the Denver Broncos aren't on Deion Sanders' list for his son Shador, is it the biggest clue yet on a massive question surrounding Deion himself? I'll explain coming up next. If the Denver Broncos aren't on Deion Sanders' list for his son Shador, is it the biggest clue yet on a massive question surrounding Deion himself? Now, Phil, I don't want to get carried away with this list from Deion Sanders. I don't think it's smart of him to do. I think it's not informed enough, and it's just too early. It's too early to start making a list, a hand-picked list, a year in advance for your quarterback son. Maybe I'm wrong. That's how I feel about it in the moment here.
Yeah, you sound like you're kind of tired of all this like ruckus with the Deion and his son at this time, because they still got to play one more year in college. We don't know what this young man's going to do, how he's going to do. They have to win games, you know, and yet we're still sitting here today, and Coach Prime's coming out with a list for his son, talking about there's only a few teams that he will be going to. Like, that kind of, to me, I think that's why people are kind of getting wore out with it. It's like, come on, man. Like, if it's okay to have a few teams for your son to go to, but you don't have to put it out to the world. Nobody cares at this time.
Right.
We want to see what he does this year.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I just want to see it play out.
Yeah.
Not be, you know, calling your shot an entire year in advance. Let's see what happens. But that's just me. I understand if people see it differently. But I'll tell you this. If the Broncos are not on his list for Shador, it'll tell me everything I need to know about Deion coming back for year number three.
Mm.
So you and I have gone back and forth about this. Yeah. I think this is the final year of Deion Sanders coaching CU. You think he'll be back for at least one more year after
that? He'll be back one more year.
Maybe you're right. You know, one of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong. My reasoning is we've never seen Deion coach a team without coaching his sons.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, though. If the Broncos are not on your list when you have an opportunity to coach CU in 2025 and have your son play NFL football right down the road, how far is it to drive from Mile High to Folsom Field? Maybe 30, 40 minutes?
Yeah, 40, 45 minutes at most.
Okay. How unusual would that be? If you're coaching Power 5 football and your son is playing NFL football 45 minutes away, what a unique intersection. That's just winning. That's unbelievable. But if they're not on your short list, I think it's an additional clue for me of Deion's not going to be here in 2 years. And I don't mean that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
See, you took a chance, and I think it's already worked. I think it's already worked for Boulder. So I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think it's an additional clue for me.
See, I don't think it's a clue for me that Deion's not going to be here next year. It's a clue that maybe Deion doesn't like what Sean Payton's doing, doesn't believe that Sean Payton could elevate his son being here in Denver, and that's why he doesn't have him on the list right now.
Oh,
you know, I think it has to do with
him. Thought he loved Sean Payton.
You know, he might.
He said that. He said, stay away from my guy, Sean Payton. Remember that?
I believe in Sean Payton.
Well, maybe, and maybe also it's, okay, he knows that Sean's going for a quarterback right now, and he's not going to go and pick his son up if he goes for a quarterback he already loves this year. So he already kind of has him off the list saying,
oh, okay.
You know, you know, it's like, I know that Sean's not going to pick my son because he already picked the quarterback that he wants to will and deal with. And then it comes down to where can my son grow as a quarterback, make the money on the field, but also be a superstar off the field? You know, I think that's what he's thinking for his son. Now, I think Coach Prime himself, he's staying for another year. I think that him and AD Rick George may have some agreements that they're going to stay, you know, that Prime will stay here for at least 3 years.
Okay.
You know, we'll just put that out there. Top of...
Are you reporting that?
Oh, no, I'm just going to put it out there. On top of, he's trying to build something special here. And if he wins this year, all right, it's going to make him want to stay for another year to see some of these kids grow and have opportunities to go to the next level, and he will be able to help them do that if they can win some games this year.
Interesting.
Next question.
Interesting. You know, I want to play a piece of audio here. It's Colin Cowherd and John Middlecoff. John Middlecoff is a podcaster for Colin Cowherd, who used to be an NFL scout.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a conversation here in the last 24 hours about Deion putting out a list for his son.
I think Shador Sanders is really interesting. I wouldn't take him over Caleb or Drake May, but I do think there's an argument I could take him over Jaden Daniels. When his dad says there may be an Eli Manning situation, Elway was probably the greatest quarterback prospect ever. That's why he's even referenced today. Eli Manning's brother Peyton won the MVP the year he's coming out. So there's a, oh, here we go. Peyton now is the best young quarterback. Let's get his brother. There was a lot of leverage. Does Shedeur Sanders, even with Deion as a dad, have any leverage to do that?
I have no problem having confidence. Like, these guys are going to be great NFL players. He's going to have a big season. But to make that statement already, let's face it, kind of puts a bad taste into everyone's mouth coming in there. This guy's not Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence. Like, not everyone's universally agreeing that he's some elite player.
So that last part from Middlecoff, former NFL scout, like, yeah, it just hits people's ear the wrong way when you're doing an entire year in advance. That's kind of the camp I'm in. I be confident in your son. Like,
no, for sure. Like, if you're not confident in your son, nobody else will be. That's your son. That's
sure,
your blood.
Sure.
But I'm with you. Right. When you're listening to how Coach Prime's going on and raving about his son and Travis, when it's a whole entire team, it takes a whole village to get to where you want to go.
Right.
But you're trying to put your kid out there, put Travis out there because he's pretty much your kid as well.
Mm-hmm.
And try to use your leverage, your superstar self to get it out there so everybody starts to talk about it. That's kind of what it comes out to be. Now, Shedeur is a really good quarterback.
Sure.
He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, he really is.
You know, and his ceiling has not been met yet. So we, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does this year with a whole new revamped offensive line. But people are still wanting to know, can he win games?
We'll see.
Can he stay healthy?
If he's the number one pick, if you have two of the top four players in the NFL draft, I know it does take a village, but you should probably win some games. And you're a damn good coach, right?
Yeah, you have to be a good coach if that's going to be the case.
Elevate and dominate. 21 ways to win on and off the field. So if you have a great coach, best quarterback, and another top four, we'll see how it works out this year. Kidding aside, we'll be rooting for the Buffs, of course. I mean, it's been a great story with Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the next chapter is, literally. Chapter book. Get it? All right. The Rockies.
You got his book, I see. Chapter two, dominate.
All right. The Colorado Rockies season starts tomorrow. But there's one pretty big problem. We'll talk about it next.